Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
A busy day on the Border Patrol. Let's talk to Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Sammy, where are you?
Sammy, I'm here. What's going
hey,
on, guys?
How are
it's
you?
Sam
I'm
Mellinger.
Tell you what, Sam Mellinger,
you're my favorite writer.
He has bulked up. He is looking a lot stronger, and I never really realized that Sam was so fit.
It's those steroids I've been taking.
Whoa. There it is, Kansas City. It's 8:10 on 8:10 right now.
Yeah,
check
baby.
Your watches. And I want to mention again, we're celebrating with a wonderful grand opening, our virtual grand opening. It's a real grand opening, but virtually I'm there because I'm everywhere, okay? I'm just present. Schlotsky's in Raymore, 2023 Foxwood Drive, all day long. They're offering a buy any entree, get a second one free all day in Raymore. And you could buy that VIP swag bag for only $30, which includes a 52-week buy one, get one free entree card, including large sandwiches. You could use that at any location in the Kansas City area, Olathe, Overland Park, Blue Springs, Lee Summit, and Raymore. Two-pack Cinnabon, reusable 20-ounce Schlotsky's Tumbler Cup, reusable and insulated catering bag, and a Schlotsky's Frisbee that is a value of several hundred dollars. You can get it for just $30 today at the Schlotsky's in Raymore, and we're still going to give away two more VIP swag bags as it is the grand opening of Schlotsky's in Raymore at 2023 Foxwood Drive. Buy any entree, get a second one for free all day in Raymore. Now we have Tim Grunhard. It's been a great couple of weeks for Chiefs fans, my man. Well, that's Sam Mellinger's music. Wow, that just I actually thought Sam was on the show. Man, oh, man, Timmy.
Yeah, you know, it's become a habit coming in here on Thursday mornings and talking about new contracts. But I do have to just make a comment. Are you like Max Headroom now? So you just put your head in these virtual things and your head just kind of, hey, remember that guy spooked me or whatever that thing was.
Max Headroom.
Yeah, so, it's weird.
For Coca-Cola, my aunt, she's a graphic designer. She was one of the three people who helped develop Max Headroom.
Wow.
She was actually, and then after she worked on that project, she went to work for the Charlotte Hornets at the time before they started the franchise, and she helped develop the first logo for the Charlotte Hornets.
Nice.
But yeah, I remember it was so cool. She got us these Max Headroom t-shirts because she's working on that project and everything.
Dude, you were hip.
Oh, dude.
You were huge.
Dude, Max Headroom was awesome.
Yeah, so
very glitchy, though. He stuttered a lot. Yeah.
Creepy.
That's all right. Hey, yeah, no, it's been great. Listen, the Chiefs went into this offseason with a kind of a to-do list, and the number one on that to-do list was Patrick Mahomes. Now, that to-do list was altered as soon as this COVID thing kind of popped in because they had to kind of put that, if you believe it or not, kind of on the back burner a little bit because they had to figure out how they were going to do all these virtual lessons and virtual meetings and virtual workouts and all the things that they had to do in the off season to kind of get the team going, which Andy Reid and the staff did an unbelievable job. Listen, everybody around the league has talked about what a great job Andy Reid and these guys did with this virtual learning and all that kind of good stuff. Now, it was a little bit easier for the Chiefs because they had 20 or 22 guys coming back, but yet they had a bunch of rookies come in. So they had a lot of things they had to work through. Now, the Patrick Mahomes contract has been worked on probably since 2018. A lot of rumors out there that listen, they said, hey, we need to start working on this thing. I do think it would have got done a little bit earlier if we didn't have this virus to worry about. So the to-do list kind of went from Patrick Mahomes being one and Chris Jones being two to 1A and then two. So, you know, they had to get this virtual thing done. They've done a great job. So the offseason, if you look at just the Chiefs organization as a whole, and you look at the things that they had to get done or wanted to get done this offseason, they've got them done. Now, I was one of those guys who was drinking the soup a little bit when the draft was coming around, thinking that Chris Jones was on the trade block. But I don't think that Chris Jones was on the trade block. I think the Chiefs were listening. If an unbelievable deal came up, they would listen. But the Chiefs were working on and wanted to get Chris Jones signed. They wanted to make sure that they took care of their two superstar players on each side of the ball. They were young guys. They were going to be the nucleus for this team over the next, 4 or 5 years. And that was Patrick Mahomes on the offensive side and really for the whole team, and then Chris Jones on the defensive side. Now, the other thing that I think people need to respect and understand is that Patrick Mahomes, through this whole thing, was not only thinking about himself, and you got to think about yourself, you got to think about your contract, you got to think about your money you're making, you got to think about making sure you're being taken care of and your family's being taken care of and the generational money that you're making is going to be there for you. But also in this whole thing, Patrick Mahomes, and I know this for a fact, was contemplating and thinking about how we can work this out so we can keep the nucleus of this team together. And one of those guys was Chris Jones. So when you saw Patrick Mahomes sign and all those Twitter things were going around that Chris Jones was upset, well, he never said that, but people were saying, oh my God, his head is spinning, you know, Chris Jones, all that. But the reality of the situation is Patrick Mahomes and his agents and the Kansas City Chiefs found a way to work it out where both of them could get signed. And I give a lot of credit to Brett Veach. I give a lot of credit to Patrick Mahomes because I think that was a point of emphasis for him. And I give a lot of credit for Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones probably could have held out for a little bit more, but he didn't. So if you look at this contract over the next 3 years, it's really cap friendly for both. I mean, even Chris Jones could have been a little bit more selfish, for lack of a better word, when it came to the cap. 3 years, $64 million for Patrick Mahomes against the cap. 3 years, $60 million for Chris Jones against the cap. Those are not numbers that you can't work with. And so I give credit to everybody at that organization because I think they understand that there is a lot of great things coming up, and you might as well take advantage of that while you can.
So one of the things about Mahomes that is so striking to me is his seemingly crystal clear self-awareness. Like, he knows he's the best player in the NFL. He knows the voice that he has. He has this confidence in himself to say, like, I'm going to get paid a lot of money. They ain't letting me go. Like, no. This isn't the type of thing where I got to worry that in 4 years from now they're going to cut me to get out of this contract, because I'm Patrick freaking Mahomes, and I can help the rest of the team in the process. And the GQ article did a really good job of chronicling this too, that his decision to put himself in the Black Lives Matter video that he did came while this negotiation was taking place. And seeing what happened with Colin Kaepernick, he still decided to do it. And it's like, it's because he knows, I'm Patrick Mahomes. They're still going to, I mean, like this, the league needs me. And it's not in an arrogant way. It's not in a way that he does it in an off-putting way. It's almost endearing because he just goes out and handles his business to the point where all of his teammates seem to love him even more.
Yeah, you know, if you look at this, and you look at this as a pie, and you look at the monies that Patrick Mahomes is going to make over the next, listen, 25, 30 years. Okay, let's not talk about just the 12-year contract or the 10-year extension or whatever it is. Over the next 25, 30 years, if things work out the way they could work out and should work out and I think will work out, you know, he's going to be up there with the Michael Jordans, LeBron James, the Magic Johnsons, on the football side, I can't think of anybody, maybe Aaron Rodgers a little bit, with just making money off of endorsements.
Peyton Manning would probably be the top of the list, in my opinion, in football, right?
Peyton Manning probably, that's a great one to bring up. But if you look at this pie, and if you can believe it or not, this pie, you'd separate it into a third. That's the money he's going to make with the NFL. You cut it into probably another, you know, third or maybe a little bit more. That's going to be his investments. I'm sure he's got a good investor. He's going to make a lot of money off of the money that he made. And then the other thing is going to be endorsements. He's right now, I mean, if you look at it, he's just the hottest thing right now. You got Coors,
Oakley.
Thank you for that. I was pointing at my eyes. You have all these different and guess what?
State Farm.
Guess what?
State Farm.
It's just starting.
Oh yeah.
And 20 years from now, if everything works out the way I think, I mean, this is a guy that endures himself to the public. People like him. this may sound crass a little bit, but hey, he's African American and white, and you know what? So he, you know, both African Americans and white people are drawn to him, and in this day and age, I'm sorry that you have to, you know, separate that, but it's reality.
I'm Mexican and I'm drawn to him.
Yeah, so there you go. The reality is that right now he represents what America is wants to be all about, and that's why I think that this guy is going to break the bank when it comes. So he understands he's going to make money off of a lot of different avenues, and it's going to be good for him. It's going to be good for the league, and it's going to be good for this country. And I hate to put that kind of pressure on the young man, but the reality of the situation is that's where he sits. And that, you know what, that's good and bad. It's good because he's going to make a lot of money, but it's bad because, you know, eventually he's going to be under the microscope. So you got to just be so careful what you do and what you say and how you say it, because there's a lot of people that love to build you up in this world, but they also like to tear you down. So you've got to be very, very careful. And the positive of this thing is Kansas City has the next superstar in its midst, a guy who lives here in town. Nate and I talked about this last week. You know, he lives here. He's a Kansas City and he lives here. Our owner doesn't even live here. You know, the Hunts live in, you know, whatever. I mean, you got to love the Hunts for bringing a team here to Kansas City, but they don't live here. Our superstar football player lives here in Kansas City. He's part of our community. And so we are just so blessed to have a guy like that here.
And to put this in perspective again, I was trying to explain this to my son. The highest paid athlete on planet Earth lives in Kansas City.
Yeah, he doesn't live in he doesn't live in Barcelona.
Right. I mean, now per year, I guess Messi makes about twice as much per year. But in terms of the overall deal, life of the deal, the richest contract in professional sports belongs in Kansas City, not in New York, not in L.A., not in Paris, not in Barcelona, not in London, not in any of these places, in Kansas City.
Yep.
It's just incredible. It's incredible.
it is incredible. And the way that this salary cap worked out, and I talked about this. That's why I love doing this show, is because it's kind of, you know, I do the Tuesday thing, I do the Wednesday thing, and, you know, I'm doing all the notes for it. And I come here on Thursday, and I'm like, you know, I try to put all that together. But if you look at just the way this salary cap is going to fluctuate here in the next 3 or 4 years. You know, it's going to be down a little bit this year. Each team's going to lose about $100 million. It's going to be $3.2 million. And remind me to get back to that stat, because I don't think it's going to be as bad if they don't have fans in the stands. But we'll talk about that here in a second. But what's going to happen here when this contract really kicks in, the big money kicks in, guess what else kicks in? 17 games. That kicks in. Guess what else kicks in? Gambling money is going to be infused into the salary cap. And infused, you're going to have kiosks in stadiums where you can go and you can say, I'm going to bet that Patrick Mahomes throws for 300 yards in this game. And then you can also go at halftime and say, I bet he throws for 150 in this half. And you can bet on those things. Those things are going to be here. And that money is going to go directly to the NFL, the NFLPA, and it's going to go into that salary cap. The other thing, there's going to be a new TV deal. So there's going to be a lot of money that is infused into this salary cap by the time this really kicks in. If you don't think that the sports lines and the sports betting and all those things are coming, they're coming. And I remember talking to Goodell at a playoff game about this gambling stuff. He says, it's coming, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be legal, and it's going to be part of what we do.
Look at how happy Jake is right now in this whole situation. He's just like, yes!
And, hey, can you imagine that, Jake? You're going to be able to bet on football.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Dream away,
I
youngster.
I can't wait until that day is here.
But you know, while you're going over and buying your, and because, you know, I know that you don't buy those Budweiser, when you're going over to buy that Coca-Cola or that big glass of water, the big bottle Pepsi of water.
When I go and buy that Miller Lite.
You're also
when
going
to go buy your tachos.
You're also going
when I
to
go buy that 360 vodka.
You're also going to buy a ticket that says that Hilaire is going to rush for 100 yards in this half. I mean, those are kind of cool things that you're going to be able to do right there in the stadium, which, you know.
Yeah, it feels like I have a great opportunity now to hedge my bets.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So that gives labor. But here is.
By the way, TV deal, it just go ahead and chalk it up to Amazon right now.
Yeah. And Amazon's going to be about. But here's the thing. I want you guys to think about this. Now, listen, this whole COVID thing is a disaster, okay? It's just hard to even imagine. I was talking to
Nate.
Not
familiar with it. What are you talking about?
I was talking to Nate before. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm in the dumps here because, I mean, I got two kids that are really being affected from this big time. And I'm in the dumps and listening, you know, the NFL is, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But the NFL is going to be okay, and I'll tell you why I think they're going to be okay. And you guys argue with me if you want. Wait till you see the TV ratings for NFL football games. TV ratings for NFL football games are going to be outside of.
Well,
I mean,
yes,
it's going to be. Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Already astronomical. So, that's the thing. Well, it's
but think about the marketing. Think about you.
If
don't
we
think
have them,
companies. Yeah, if we have them, but yeah. I think the way that the money is, they're going to find a way to have these games.
That's the point.
And the marketing is going to be huge, and the signage in the stadium is going to be huge. And guess what? The gambling money is going to be huge. So there's going to be a lot of different avenues that the NFL is going to collect money in this year that everything is down. Now, it's not a perfect situation. I don't think the NFL is going to be beat up as much as a lot of people think it's going to beat up because, you know, to buy a commercial at a regular Chiefs game that's going to be coming up on CBS is going to be astronomical. People are going to pay it because they know everybody's watching. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Now, I'm not saying that that's a good situation because it's not. It's a horrible situation. And I want 78,000 people in the stands. But those people are going to be watching, and everybody's going to be watching these games if they have them. So there is a way for the NFL and the NFLPA and all and you know the companies that are involved with the NFL to be able to take advantage of this situation, even though it's a bad situation.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about Chris Jones. We need to spend some time talking about Chris Jones, and then we will get to college football. We've got some clips from Brian Kelly and Eli Drinkwitz that you can react to. But first, we're going to talk about Chris Jones when we come back on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It goes back to the work that our cap crew has done and just always keeping in mind that, you know, there is a price to pay for elite-level talent, and certainly Pat Mahomes and Chris Jones are elite players, but also the ability to have flexibility within those contracts to get creative and to do things within the structure of those contracts to allow for maneuverability of the team. Again, just to continue to add talent and to keep this thing going. It's always difficult, but again, I think when you I think when all sides are committed to staying in one place, and again, it goes back to Chris, Cabot, and Lee really loving the environment here, Pat loving the environment here. Same thing with the Katz brothers and Chris Jones. I think when everyone's on the same page of let's find a way to make it work, let's find a way to keep these guys in Kansas City, it just allows our guys to get creative and really find solutions to all these problems.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol. That was Brett Veach. Okay, let's talk Chris Jones in this segment. Then we will talk a little college football with Tim Grunhard. Okay, Timmy, so a lot of people are pessimistic about Chris Jones, but they get the deal done. And there's a pretty wide range of opinions on Chris Jones. We just had Adam Kaplan on, and he mentioned that that Chris Jones, when he's on, is a top three defensive tackle. But he also said that around the NFL, the consensus is DeForest Buckner is a better player than Chris Jones. But Chris Jones, for the people that love him, and I think we're all on the same page. We love him. You see, if you watch him all the time, you see what a disruptive force he is. And I cannot emphasize enough what he meant in that Super Bowl victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, as a guy that had to block a lot of great defensive tackles in the NFL, give me just a true, unvarnished opinion of Chris Jones, the football player. If you were game planning to go up against him, tell me his strengths and weaknesses, and if you think he's as good as the contract suggests he is.
Yeah, so let's start with that. I do think he's as good as the contract says he is. He's right now the third highest paid defensive player behind Khalil Mack, who was coming off a monster year, was signed by the Bears, and maybe hasn't quite lived up to that contract, but is a disruptor on the defensive side. And then you have Aaron Donald, who I think is probably the best defensive player right now in the NFL. So he's third behind that, and I think that's where he belongs. I really don't want the Buckner thing. I think we're wasting our time when we're comparing the two. They're two different kind of guys. I would rather have Chris Jones than Buckner. People would rather have Buckner. People like vanilla ice cream. People like chocolate ice cream. People like strawberry ice cream. It depends on what you want.
Sherbet. I'm a sherbet guy.
There we go. Rainbow sherbet. Vanilla. Any of it. Any of it. But I like Chris Jones better than Buckner. But
me
you know
too.
What? I'm a Chiefs fan, yeah. So what?
Absolutely. But, you know, if you had Buckner on your team, you'd probably like him better. But let's
no. So you probably would have lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you probably would have. All right, so yeah. So let's go to what your guest said a little bit earlier about defensive linemen and Chris Jones, you know, not playing every play. Has never been a defensive lineman that played every play. There's never been one because you can't. It's physically impossible to play every play, and you're thinking, well, what are you talking about? That's against all the ideas of playing football at 110%. Well, let me tell you, when you're a defensive lineman, you are a big physical dude, okay? And it takes a lot of energy to play defensive line. It takes more energy, I think, to play defensive line than any other position. And you ask, well, why is that? If you're an offensive lineman, you're basically doing the same thing. Well, you're not. Think about what a defensive lineman has to do. First of all, a defensive lineman has to physically beat the guy in front of him, okay? And after you physically beat the guy in front of him, you've got to be athletic off of that move to beat the guy in front of you, and then you have to make a tackle. That's a lot of effort. And whether you're tackling a running back or you're chasing a quarterback down, that's a lot of effort. There's no way in hell that you could do that every play. And anybody who says that there's defensive linemen that they've seen who played hard every play, I'd call you a liar because it doesn't happen. And I played against the greatest defensive lineman, Cortez Kennedy. I played against the Hall of Famer there. I played against Howie Long. Played against Jerry Ball. Played against a bunch of really, really good defensive linemen. I can keep going down the list. Reggie White. Charles
Long.
Mann. You name all those guys.
Howie Long.
And at times,
Howie Long.
And at times, those guys took plays off. They had to because they knew, okay.
Timmy, just say names and have Nate repeat them.
Yeah.
Jerry Ball.
Howie Long.
So if it's second down and eight and you're a defensive lineman, you're probably going to say, okay, well, I'm going to kind of square up with this guy. And you know, if the ball comes near me, and maybe I could shed him and make the play. But I'm saving my energy because if it's third down and six, I'm going to need that energy. It's really hard to have that energy every play. That's just a fact. Okay, I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. It is a fact. Defensive linemen at times take plays off, and the reason why they take plays off is because they have to conserve that energy in order to have it in key situations. It's just the way it is. So a guy like Chris Jones, people say, well, it takes plays off. Well, everybody takes plays off. Let me tell you one of the things that Chris Jones does really, really well, which fits into what defenses need now. The sack is going the way of the dinosaur. You're going to have people are going to have sacks, okay? But it's so hard to sack the quarterback now. Number one, the offensive linemen are more athletic than they used to be. And number two, the quarterbacks get rid of the balls a lot faster than they used to get rid of the ball. There's no seven-step drops anymore. You know, you're getting the ball and you're getting rid of the ball. And, you know, you have some guy. And then, by the way, the quarterbacks are big and athletic now, so it's hard to sack those guys. So the one thing that Chris Jones does so well that I think is going to be the next big stat when you talk about all these people that break down stats and they look at grading and all that kind of stuff, it's pressure and hits. Okay, what kind of pressure and hit do you get as a defensive lineman? Can you get to the quarterback and pressure him and make him get off his spot and throw the ball a little bit quicker than he wants to? Can you knock a quarterback down? You're a boxer, Steven. You know that a really good jab is just as effective sometimes as that big right hook. Because
Did you listen to the damn monologue? I talked about the jab and how that helped Tim Elliott win last night because his right hand was injured. He had a dislocated finger, and I said many times in times of peril in the ring or in the cage, a jab can bring you home the way it did for Tim Elliott, representing Kansas City last night in the co-main event of UFC Fight Night. Thank you, Tim Gernhardt. You're a smart man.
Yeah, but so, and that's what I think defensive linemen are going to get to that with those constant hits on the quarterback and getting them off their spots. That's important. And Chris Jones has led the team with that. I think he had well over 20 of those this year. where, I mean, quarterback hits and that's not counting how many times you move guys off the spot and all this kind of, that's where it's getting to. And that's what Chris Jones does very well. And then you say, well, why doesn't Chris Jones play better against the run? You know what? He's not asked to particularly. Okay, now, if I was a defensive coordinator, I would want Chris Jones to play a little bit better against the run because it's going to free up my linebackers a little bit. And I think our linebackers take a little bit of the brunt of Chris Jones' type of play because most of the time, defensive linemen, if you're not a playmaker on the defensive line, which Chris Jones is, so you're asked to tie guys up so your linebackers can make the tackles. Every defense is designed for linebackers to make the tackles. All right, defensive lineman, if you make a play, great. But the linebacker is designed to make the play. So let's fast forward to Chris Jones. Chris Jones is in green mode all the time. He's in green mode, which means he's going after the quarterback. He pretty much thinks every play he's got to beat that guy and get to the quarterback and pressure the quarterback because that's what he's basically asked to do. All right, and if the run comes at him, if he's in a position, which he's a good enough athlete to go make a play, he does. But most of the time, he puts himself in a bad position against the run because he's asked to get after the quarterback. Because this is a passing league now. I mean, very rarely will you have a defensive lineman ask, listen, you need to stop the run. Because the run is just a basic part of the offense now. It's not like it was 25 years ago when I was playing, when we ran the ball 40 times in a game. A defensive lineman was looking for a run. Nowadays, you're looking for the pass. You're looking to disrupt the pass. You're looking to disrupt the quarterback. You're looking to give your cornerbacks and your safeties time to cover. You're trying to get the guy to move off the spot so that your blitzing guys can get to the quarterback. That's what the defense is basically all about right now. And I'd love to talk to Spags someday about it. I haven't had an opportunity to do it. But ask him how he thinks the defensive line play has changed over the last 20, 25 years. And I would suggest that it's changed, that it's basically to stop the pass as much as it is to stop the run like it used to be. So Chris Jones does a really good job of that. So that's why, I mean, he is an elite player at the things he's asked to do. He is a playmaker on the defensive side. The last guy that we had was a playmaker on the defensive side in Kansas City was Derek Thomas, and Derek Thomas got paid for it too.
So I agree. I mean, everything you say makes perfect sense. Just to play devil's advocate,
yep.
We just had Adam Kaplan on, and he said that by far the second best team in the AFC is the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. They are completely built on the run. Do you buy that? Are they going to be the biggest challenger to the Chiefs over the next few years? And if so, does that change what you're saying at all?
No, they're designed on the plus one run.
Yeah.
The plus one run means that the quarterback is running the ball.
Yeah.
So once again, I mean, that's a whole different beast and a whole different game plan and a whole different set of rules. When you say plus one run, that means that, you know, listen, the way that in the last 20, 25 years you ran the ball, You had your zone plays, and a lot of times you had a fullback that was kind of leading the way, all right? And then if not a fullback, then you had a tight end, all right? So if not a zone play, you were running a gap play. So you're running a power or a counter or a trap, all right? So when you say plus one run, that means that now you have a running back plus a tight end or a fullback. So you have plus one, which means the quarterback is running the ball and making plays with an extra guy. You're always trying to find an extra guy in the run game in order to have success in the run. So without quarterback running, because remember this, and this is the last thing I'll say, remember this, the quarterback is basically worthless on a run.
Mm-hmm. He's unless he's a threat off to run.
Yeah, yeah, he's just going to, you know, he may hold the defensive end on the backside, okay? That's great. But he's basically worthless. And it adds so many issues with the run game when you have a plus one, when your quarterback can run the ball. And I contend that Lamar Jackson is a playmaker, and a lot of times he just says, okay, listen, I think I can go get 8 to 10 yards with my feet here, then I'm not going to try and thread that pass. And then that's why he does a lot of that. And there are teams, and there are outliers. You have the Titans, you have, I think, the 49ers to a certain extent, and you have the Ravens that can run the ball, but in the reality is when you play the Denver Broncos and you play the San Diego Chargers, when you play the Raiders, you've got to be able to manage the passing game and deal with the running game.
We've got Tim Grunhard in studio. We'll talk a little college football when we come back on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think, like everybody has talked about, everything is on the table at this point. So, yeah, I won't get into the specifics because I don't know that anybody really has a great idea of what it looks like. I know there's some models out there, certainly, but I think what Jack is saying in particular is that the models of the professional teams will give us a better understanding of are we going to delay this and try to play it in the fall, or do we certainly have to just scrap it and then begin putting together something for the spring? Because look, we're going to play football this year. It just depends on when we're going to play football.
That is Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly. Tim Grunhard knows a little bit about him and Timmy. So we heard that clip about playing college football coming back. I'll play one more clip for you, then I'll have you tell us what you know since your son plays for Notre Dame. Here is Mizzou coach Eli Drinkwitz. We heard him earlier talking about the possibility of college football returning. Here's one more. Eli Drinkwitz talked about wearing a mask yesterday on a Zoom call.
I think what we're trying to do is encourage people that it's okay to wear a mask. It's okay to do it. I get there's arguments on both sides. I get that it for some reason it's been politicized. I just happen to believe it happens to be good public health policy. Does it solve all the problems? I don't know. I'm a football coach. I know how, in order to get things done, everybody has to buy into a collective mission. For us to end COVID, we got to buy into a collective mission. It may not be a perfect plan. Seldom plans are perfect. Plan your work, work the plan. They've got a plan in place. Let's all work the plan. And that's what we're trying to do. And we'll see if it works. I don't know. I guess I'm frustrated with the fact that when people argue against it, it's like, why are we not willing to try it? You know, it's gotten to the point where you got supposedly on Twitter, you got the Corona bros, and then you got the guys who think it's fake. And now you've got both sides rooting against each other. Like, I'm just rooting for the United States of America. And I'm just rooting for us to beat the disease. I don't care who's right or wrong.
That was Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of the Missouri Tigers, who you heard from Brian Kelly and Eli Drinkwitz. Timmy, tell us what you thought of those comments from both coaches and what you think about the possibility of college football happening this year.
Yeah, first of all, the mask thing, you know, listen, I wear a mask when I go into the gas station or I go into the grocery store or I walk around the plaza or whatever it is. I'm wearing a mask. I don't know what it does. I really don't know if it's doing anything or not, but I know that if I wear it, it can't hurt. It's not that big of a deal. You know, when I go to mass, I wear a mask. I don't think it's that huge of a deal to wear it. I'm looking at it as if I wear it, maybe I don't get it, or maybe somebody else doesn't get it, or maybe somebody sees me wearing it, and then that curtails the spread of it. I don't know. I don't know what it does, and I really don't care what it does. So, you know, if you're going to wear a mask, you're going to wear a mask. So to that, I agree with him. I mean, let's be the United States. You know, let's be united here.
Well, I love the fact that he used the football metaphor, because if Marty Schottenheimer called in a play or whatever, I mean, he wasn't the offensive coordinator, but if your coach called in a play,
we got you.
If your coach called in a play, maybe it's not the best play. And maybe you, as the center, think we shouldn't be running this play right now. But the only chance that play has of working is if all 11 guys in the huddle commit to that play and say, we're going to execute this play together to the best of our ability. If half the guys go, nope, that's not the play I want to run, I'm going to do a different play, it doesn't have a chance to work.
And you know what? And I don't want to get into the whole politics of it, but he's right. I mean, some people are rooting for it, some people are rooting against it, and whatever political means you have, if it's good for you for it to be bad, then you want it. If it's bad for you to be good, then you want it. Whatever. I don't care. just if you're gonna wear a mask, God bless you. We appreciate that. The last thing with Brian Kelly, I agree wholeheartedly with Brian Kelly. There's going to be a football season. I don't know what it's going to look like, and I don't know when it's going to be, but there's going to be a football season. There's a lot of things that football cures. And the first thing is just the other sports in the schools. If you say that there's going to be no Notre Dame football, there's going to be no K-State football, there's going to be no Missouri football, then guess what? There's going to be no track. There's going to be no swimming. There's going to be no baseball. That is not going to, so it's not going to happen. It's as simple as that. So there's got to be, football is the way the teams and universities pay for the things that go on at the university. It's just the way it is. And if they don't have it, then just scratch the whole season. So that's why I think they're going to have it. My personal opinion is they're going to try to get it off here in the fall. And if it runs rampant with spreading and with problems, then they're going to shut her down and they're going to do it in the spring. I think that's what the Power Fives are going to do. I don't think that the Patriot League and the Ivy League can afford to do that. They just can't afford to do that, so that's why they're not. The Power Five can't afford to do that. I'm talking financially, and shut it down and start over. So as when you're talking about Notre Dame football right now, they are doing the same things they would be doing as if the season started on time. They're on the field with the captains and the older players running the practices. They're doing all the individual drills. They're doing all the 7-on-7s. They're doing all the 1-on-1s and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of things they have to do. If you're an injured player, you're with the quarterbacks, and every time the quarterback throws the ball and it comes back to the quarterback, he gives the ball to one of the injured guys or one of the managers, and they wipe it down with a sanitizing deal, and they give it back. So that those are the things that are happening. Whether they play this fall or not, I don't know. I think they're going to try to pull it off, and let's hope that, because we're wearing masks and doing the right things, that college football season can go on. But if we don't and it doesn't, it will go on in the spring. They will play football this year. It just, we're just not sure what it's going to look like.
Timmy, thank you so much for the time. You have a wonderful day, and enjoy. How about you enjoy some delicious CBD Slotsky's? American Shaman products for us.
Yeah,
we got Slotsky's here right in the studio too.
I'll be down at the lake tomorrow on Saturday at the Tap and Grill Lakeside with CBD American Shaman. If you guys are going to be down at the lake and you're in the Laurie or Sunrise Beach area, come on and see us. We're going to be giving away a bunch of stuff, a bunch of products, a bunch of cocktail mixers, and we are going to be giving away a vacation for some lucky person too. So it'll be Neil Smith, Frank Bull, and I, and we will be down there hanging out for a couple hours. So come on down between 1 and 5 at the Lakeside Tap and Grill down in Lake of the Ozarks. There you go.
That's Tim Grunhard. Thank you very much, Timmy. We'll be right back after this on WHB.